B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Ksubas Daf Yud Ches. We're going to start from the very top line of the Omud. And this takes us back to the Gemara, which we started learning on Daf Yud Zayin Omud Beis, which took us back to the Mishnah. At the end of the Mishnah, we saw that even though in the first Peruk, Rabbi Yeshua didn't agree with the concept of Rabbi Shmuel, of Rabbi Gamliel, of Migu. Migu means that since I could have said a better claim, a claim that would have stood in my interest more, I'm believed with the claim I did say. But, and Rabbi Yeshua says, normally I disagree with Rabbi Gamliel on that. But there's one type of Migu that I agree, and that is when Ein Shoyer Shochot Lefanecha, which means when there was no questions asked, where the situation didn't demand an answer, whether I, who am giving the claim, actually was the one that first introduced the situation, then I'm believed that since I could have just kept silence and nobody would have known any better, and I started discussing it, and then I said, but, and then I made a claim, then Rabbi Shua agrees that you have a migu that I could have been quiet, and he's Ne'eman. And what was the case the Mishnah brought? If Reuven says to Shimon, this field here used to belong to your father, Shimon didn't know, there was no questions being asked, Reuven introduced a situation, this field was once yours, your father's, and But, I bought it from him. Since he could have kept silent and stayed in the field, and he came forward and he said, I bought it from him, then he's Ne'eman. He's believed. However, says the Mishnah, if there's Edim that say that this field belonged to Shimon's father, then Reuven will not necessarily be believed. He will not be believed to say you bought it. Well, if you bought it, prove it. And some of those details we discussed in Daf Yud Zayin Omud Beis, we're not going back there now. The Gemara is now saying, why didn't the Mishnah bring a more simple case of Ein Shoyer Shochot Lefanecha, a more simple case where Reuven would be introducing a situation and being believed because he could have just been quiet and said nothing, and that Rabbi Shua would have agreed that there's a migu there. And why do you have to go to a case where Reuven is telling Shimon that this field used to belong to your father? Says the Gemara. V'lisni moide Rabbi Yeshua, why didn't the Mishnah say that Rabbi Yeshua agrees? Bo'im lechaveiro, if Reuven says to Shimon, mone lovisi mimcha. I actually borrowed from you a mone, a coin, uperativ lecha. For some reason, Shimon didn't come forward, he didn't make a claim, he didn't claim anything. And ein shoyer shochot lefanecha. Shimon said nothing. Reuven came forward and says, you should know that I borrowed this money from you and I've paid it back to you. Show Ne'eman. In that case, he's believed because he could have just been quiet. And Rabbi Shua agrees that if had you been quiet, nobody would have made a claim. Then if you make your own claim, so to speak, you're believed to get out of it and say that you've already paid. Why didn't the Mishnah say that? Says the Gemara, again, as we saw in Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, we have an issue with how's the Mishnah going to continue with that? That only if Shimon didn't make the claim, in that case, Reuven would be believed to say, I paid. Okay, granted. But the Mishnah continues and says, but if Shimon had edim that there was once a claim, that there was once a loan, if Shimon could prove that there was a loan here, then in that case, Reuven would not be believed to say, well, I paid it back. That's what the Mishnah would say. That means there's a contrast here between when Ein Shoyer Shochot Lefanecha, when there's no proof of a situation, and Reuven introduced it, to when there is proof of a situation, in that case Reuven is not believed. Is that true? Mishum dekaboy lemisna sefer, the Mishnah would have to continue and say, Im yesh edim shulav omimenu, if Shimon has proof that actually Reuven borrowed the money, and then Reuven says, Parativ, I paid you back, Einu Ne'eman, in that case, where you don't say, Ein Shoyer Shochot Lefanecha, there's no ox that slaughtered in front of you, there's no question, where there is a question, because Shimon has proof that you actually owed him money. In that case, Reuven will not be believed to say, I paid, Einu Ne'eman. That's what the Mishnah would have to say. But the Gemara says, V'hokai Melon, but that's not the truth, because the halacha is, Amalves Chaveri Be'edim, even if Reuven borrowed money from Shimon in front of two witnesses, Eini Torich Leporei Be'edim, he doesn't have to pay back in front of two witnesses. So even if there was Edim that Reuven borrowed money from Shimon, Reuven could still say, Parati, I paid you back. Even though in that case over there, we wouldn't say, Ein Shoyer Shochot Lefanecha, there's no situation, there's no claim, and therefore he's believed because of Pesha Osawa Pesha Hitir. No, he's believed anyway, even if there's Edim that say that you owe him money. He says, yeah, I owed him money, but I paid back because Amalvez Chaveri Be'edim, Einei Tzorech Lefarei Be'edim. And that's why the Mishnah didn't say that case. And now the Gemara is asking yet another question, another case the Mishnah could have said.
If a person says to his friend, if Reuven says to Shimon, Mono lo vicha biyodi,
I owed your father a mone, vehicheltiv pras, but I paid him back half.
Vehicheltiv pras, the literal translation is that I fed him half, but it means I paid back half.
Normally, min ha-Torah, we know that if somebody is a moida b'miktas, he admits to half a claim, he has to make a shvuah min ha-Torah. And over here, in this case, shehu ne'mon, because Shimon didn't claim the money, and Reuven just came forward and told Shimon that I owed your father money and I paid him half, then you've got the pesha osa hua pesha hitir. He could have just remained silent. Ein sheru shachut lefanecho. There's no question. There's nobody who's making a claim. He's ne'mon, even without a shvua, he's believed that he only owes the other half. And that's where we would have a pesha osa hua pesha hitir.
So the Gemara says, okay, but let's discuss that. Aliba de man, because this is actually going to be machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and the Rabbonon elsewhere in Shas. Gemara and Shvuah stuff mem beis omed aleph.
And we're not going to discuss now all the intricate details of that Gemara. We're just going to take it at face value as the Gemara tells us here.
Aliba de man, according to which opinion would our Mishnah, would Rabbi Yeshua be following, were the Mishnah to say that if Reuven said to Shimon, I owed your father a mona and I paid back half, that his ne'mon, he doesn't need to make a shvua. But were Shimon to make the claim on his own accord, then you haven't got hapesha osa hu hapesha hitir, and then Reuven would not be believed without a shvua, and he would have to make a shvua.
Which opinion would that be following? Aliba de man.
Which opinion?
I aliba de rabbonon.
According to the rabbonon, ha'omri the rabbonon hold in Masechus Shvuah staf mebeis omed aleph,
meishiv aveda hava, that giving back money, admitting to an orphan, to somebody whose father died, admitting to the child, I owed your father money and still owe him some money, is compared to giving back a lost property, because I could easily have just denied it. Why and how, we don't need to discuss now. But even were Shimon to come forward and say, you owe my father money, Reuven would be able to say, according to Rabbonon, I paid back half, and he would not have to make a shvua. Like when somebody gives back an aveda, if I find money in the street and I go back and I say to this person, here, this is, I found this. Is it yours? Yes, it's yours. And he says, what do you mean? I lost double. You took half. And he says, no, this is what I owe. He doesn't need to make any shvua, because if you're going to start making them make a shvua, then people are just not going to give back lost property. He also, admitting to a son that I still owe your father anything, or the father's not alive anymore, I now owe it to you because of what I owed your father, that's called Meshu Aveda. And even were Shimon to make the claim, a Reuven would not have to make a Shvua. So how would the Mishnah say that if Reuven comes forward to Shimon and says, I owed your father a mona, I paid half, then I'm Nemon, I don't need to make a Shvua. But if Shimon comes and makes the claim, I do need to make a Shvua, that wouldn't be true. According to the Rabbonon, and according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who argues with the Rabbonon in Shvuah Daf Mem Beis, Ha'omar Shvuah Boya,
he says that even if Shimon doesn't make a claim, and you come forward on your own and you say, I owed your father a mona, and I already paid him back half, I only owe half back, you have to make a Shvuah, according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. In which case, the Mishnah, it wouldn't be true that the Rabbi Shua agrees that in this case, you say, Apesha Osa wa Apesha Hitir, you don't need to make a Shua. It's not true, according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. You do need to make a Shua, even if Reuven was the one that first instigated an awareness of the loan.
The Tanya we learned in a Braisa.
Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Oimir.
Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, Pa'omim, there's a case, She'odom Nishba al Tainus Atzmoy, that a person can himself create a situation where he owes something, and then nonetheless he's going to have to make a Shvua.
Kate said, what would the case be?
Mone lo vicha biyodi. If Reuven says to Shimon, I owed your father a mone, ve'echaltiv pras, and I paid him back half. Hareza Nishba.
This Reuven has to make a Shvua, even though Reuven was the one that instigated the case. Reuven was the one that first brought out an awareness that he even owed the money.
And this is called that he makes a Shvua consequent to his own Taina. He made himself make the Shvua. It wasn't that I have to make a Shvua because of somebody else's claim.
The Chachomim say no. Einu elok meishiv aveda. The Chachomim argue and say that if somebody says I owed your father a money, I paid half, it's like giving back an aveda and potter. He's exempt from a shvua altogether. So you've got here Machlokes Reb Rabbonon and Reb Elezer ben Yaakov, and either way, the Mishnah that makes a clear distinction between whether Reuven was the one that said it or whether Shimon on his own made the claim, that would not be true, not according to Reb Elezer ben Yaakov and not according to the Rabbonon. And that's why the Mishnah didn't choose that case, and the Mishnah chose the case that it chose. And now the Gemara addresses Reb Elezer ben Yaakov's claim. We just saw now Reb Elezer ben Yaakov said that it's not like a Meshuv Aveda, and if he owns and admits that he owes the father half of what he originally owned or half of what's being claimed, then he has to make a shvua even if he instigates it himself. Asks the Gemara, Reb Elezer ben Yaakov lesle Meshuv Aveda potter? Reb Elezer ben Yaakov doesn't hold of this concept of that somebody who's giving back something which he otherwise could have gotten out of giving back, and you could have just gotten out of paying it altogether. And in order to encourage people, yes, to pay back what belongs to somebody else, they do not need to make a shvua. And this is something which we will learn about in Gittin Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis. Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov doesn't hold that Meshuv Aveda is potter from making a shvua. Answers the Gemara, you're right. Normally, in such a case, if the son were to instigate and say, you owe me the money, you owe my father the money, and Reuven says, no, I've paid back half, then he would not have to make a shvua, and he would be potter. Because it's like Meshuv Aveda. Over here, when Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov says that pa'omim sh'odom nishba al tainus atzmoy, that sometimes a person has to make a shvua, even if he himself was the one that introduced the original debt, Omar Rav says it's talking about b'toyanei cotton. If it's a minor that says, you owe my father a money, and then Reuven says to Shimon the minor, and says, I paid your father half back, in that case, we would not use the exemption of Meshuv Aveda, and he would have to make a shvua. And only in that case, Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov says that it's a Meshuv Aveda, that it's not Meshuv Aveda. Asks the Gemara, in that case, you're saying Reb Elezer ben Yaakov says you have to make a shvua? V'ha'omar mar, did we not learn elsewhere in Shas, ein nishboin al tainus cheresh shoita v'katnu? If somebody who is a minor or somebody who's not completely mentally there, a shoita, or somebody who is what we'd, let's call it deaf, then on such a claim from a person like that, whose claim is not really one that's made with absolute cognitive awareness, one does not make a shvua based on that claim. So how can you say that Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov says that you make a shvua when a cotton makes the claim? Answers the Gemara, no, I didn't mean a cotton as being a minor. I meant my cotton is a godel. Really, I mean that he's a godel. That means he's making the claim when he's already not a minor. But my korile cotton, the reason that he called him a cotton, the reason Rav said is toyanei cotton, what he meant was delegabe mili de aviv, regarding the affairs of his father, cotton who, in the same way as a cotton doesn't really know much of what's going on in his own affairs, so too this child doesn't really know what's going on with his father's affairs. So that's why he called him a cotton, but really it's a godel. And if this child makes a claim and says, you owe my father a money, and Shimon makes that claim, and Reuven says, I paid him back half, there we would not say it's Meshuv Aveda, and indeed, he would have to make the shvua. Says the Gemara, if so, ihochi tainus atzmoy, tainus achirim hi. Let's go back to the words of Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov in the Braisa. Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov says, pa'omim, just sometimes, sh'odom nishbal tainus atzmoy, that a person it's possible for him to have to make a shvua, even though it's his own claim. He's the one that instigated and created the claim. And then we said, what's the case? The case was when Reuven says to Shimon, I owe your father a mona, and I've paid back half. And Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov says that he has to make a shvua. So at first we thought that Reuven is coming to Shimon and saying to Shimon that I owe your father a mona, and I've paid back half. Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov says he has to make a shvua. But now we're saying, no, we're talking about that Shimon, the son, is coming to Reuven and saying, you owe my father a mona, and Reuven says, I've paid back half. And that's the case that Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov says you have to make a shvua. So why is it called tainus atzmoy? It's the orphan, it's the Yerush himself who's making the claim. Tainis Achirim. It's the claim of others. It's the claim. It's the claim. It's not Ein Sheru Shochot Lefanecho. It's not something which he's doing on his own. Tainis Achirim. Vahidoas Atzmo. He says the Gemara, you're right. The claim is not being made by him, but he's the one that's admitting to half. Since he's admitting to half, therefore he has to pay, make a shvua of Moida B'miktas. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. Kulu tainasa, tainas achirim vodas atzmoininu. Well, every single moida b'miktas ever is that somebody else is making a claim, you owe me X amount, and the other person says, no, I only owe you half. And there, even the Rabbanon agree, everybody agrees, you have to make a shua. This is a very typical standard moida b'miktas. What does it mean? Po'omim, sometimes a person has to make a shua, even though it's his own claim. No, it doesn't mean his own claim, it means it's his own admission to somebody else's claim. That's a regular moida b'miktas. Elo, says the Gemara, no. Hocha b'durag b'kamiflagi. It's that when Rav said b'tayinu cotton that Beleza ben Yaakov, who said you have to make a shvua, is talking about where regular cotton is making the claim. A minor indeed. And we asked the question, how can you say that a minor is making the claim? Shimon, when he's a cotton, is making the claim. Reuven has to make the shvua. We said you don't make a shvua when a cotton makes a claim. Says the Gemara, no. Hocha b'derabba kamiflegi. We're talking with, they're actually arguing, the Chachomim and Rebeleza ben Yaakov are arguing about something that Rabba said. The Omar Rabba. What did Rabba say? Mipnei ma omra toira moida mikta satayna yishova. We know that min ha-toira, when Shimon makes a claim against Reuven, you owe me X amount of money, and Reuven says, I only owe you half, Reuven actually has to make a shvua that he only owes half. Min ha-toira, it's called a shvua of moida b'miktas. If you admit to half, to part, you have to make a shvua. Why did the Torah say that? So it goes like this. Chazaka ein odomeiz ponov bifnei bal chayvei. We take it for granted the person would not be as arrogant as to say to somebody he owes money to that I don't owe you any money. He wouldn't do that. Nobody would do that. V'hai, and it could be that this person, this Reuven, really, he wants to deny the whole thing. He wants to deny the whole loan. The reason that he's not telling Shimon in the face, I don't want to pay, I don't owe you anything, because that would be way more arrogant than a normal healthy person is able to do, to say to Shimon, I don't owe you money when you do owe him money. So what does he do? And the truth is that in the big picture, he wants to pay the whole thing. And the reason that he's not owning up and saying, yes, I owe you the whole thing, in order just to push him aside with just part of the loan temporarily, but Savan is thinking to himself, for now I'll say I just owe you half. The truth is I know that I owe you the whole thing. I'd rather say I don't owe you anything, and then I'll pay you when I've got time. But I'm not as arrogant as that. So you know what, I want to buy time, so I'll just admit to half. I'll admit to half, and I'll pay the other half when I've got time. The Torah doesn't want that. The Torah says, if you admit to half, then it could be that you're only admitting to half because you want to buy time, and really you owe him the whole thing. Make a shvua. We don't want you to get away with it. But a person would not say, I don't owe you anything, if he does owe him. So if a person says, I don't owe you anything, the Torah says, you don't need to make a shvua. I believe you. You're a healthy human being. You wouldn't say to somebody you do owe money to, I don't owe you anything. So the koifer akoil, when he denies the whole loan, the whole debt, he denies the whole thing, you don't need to make a shvua min ha-toira. When you agree to half, that's where we're concerned. It could be that really you owe the whole thing and you're trying to buy time. And that's why you have to make a shvua. V'sovar ad dehavali zozo peranele, I'll pay when I have time. V'rachmon oman, the Torah says, romi shvua le. Let's put a shvua on him, keicha deloidele bekule, in order that he should admit that he owes him the whole thing. V'beleza ben Yaakov sovar. So now that's what Rabba said. Rabba said that's the logic, the reasoning behind the shvua of Moida b'miktas. Now let's come back to the machlokes of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and the Chachomim. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov sovar, lo yishno boy, v'lo yishno bibnoy. It's irrespective of whether the person yourself that you owed the money to, or the son of the person you owed money to, even if it's a minor. If you owed money to this person's father, you would not be arrogant enough to say to a child, I do not owe you anything. Eino meiz, he won't be that arrogant. And therefore, v'hilkoch lav meishiv aveda hava. Because why is he meishiv aveda? Meishiv aveda means, I could have said nothing, or I could have denied it. In the case of aveda, giving back a lost property, if you start making me make a shvua, I just won't give back any lost property, nobody will know any better. In the case here, somebody says, you owe my father money. I'll just say, no, I don't. I don't owe you money. Would I say that? That depends. If we assume that people are not meiz ponov, are not so arrogant, and they wouldn't say that, then you couldn't say that because you're a healthy person. You would not be able to say that. And if you wouldn't be able to say that, that means you wouldn't be able morally, you wouldn't be able to get yourself to just get out of it altogether. In which case, it's not like just returning a lost property. Your conscience wouldn't let you just deny it. So it's not like a meishiv aveda. If it's not like a meishiv aveda, you have to make a shvuah. Rabbonon sorry, the Rabbonon say no. Boy, regarding the person who actually lent you the money, the person who you owe the money to, who de eino meiz, him, you wouldn't say in his face, I don't owe you anything. And therefore, by moed b'miktas, he has to make a shvuah because we're afraid that he really wants to say, I don't owe you anything. He just hasn't got the guts, it's morally inappropriate. So he says, I owe you part. Therefore, you have to make a shvuah of moedah b'miktas. Avol b'benoi, but the son of somebody you owed money to, I would have no problem saying, I don't owe you anything. Meiz. And since I don't do that, umidaloi heiz, meishu aveidah hava. Since I'm being honest, and I'm saying I owe you only part, I've paid back part, and half I owe and half I don't. But I could have said, and I wouldn't have a conscience against doing that, I could have just said, I don't owe you anything. If you could have said, I don't owe you anything, it's meishiv aveda. It's like giving back a lost property where you could have just denied the whole thing. You could have said, I don't know what you're talking about. Or you could have just said nothing. The person doesn't know you found the object. And if it is like meishiv aveda, therefore you don't make any shvuah. And that's what the Chachomim say. Meishiv aveda hava. Continues the next Mishnah. Ha'edim she'omru. If two edim say, Ksav yodeinu huzeh, which means that Reuven owed Shimon money. Shimon comes with a document and says, Reuven, here, I've got a document. You owe me money. Can Reuven say, I don't know what you're talking about. It's a forgery. I don't recognize this document. You just lied. These Edim don't exist. The loan doesn't exist. Can he do that? Then it depends. We need a way of substantiating that these Edim are actually real, true people. So if the two Edim come forward and say, yes, we recognize the signatures, we stand behind this, okay, that's amazing. But you don't always have that. There's a number of other ways that you can actually be maimid a shtar. You can actually substantiate and you can confirm that the document is a legal and binding and a not forged, is a real document. So one of them is if the Edim themselves say, Ksav Yodeinu Zeh, this is our handwriting, this is us. So, ha'edim sh'omru ksav yodeinu huzeh, but, they say, aval, when we signed the document, anusim ayinu. The truth is, the loan didn't happen. We were forced to sign. The loan didn't happen. It's true that it says in the loan that Reuven owes Shimon money, but Shimon forced me to sign. It didn't happen. Or, ktanim ayinu. Yes, we signed this, but we were young. We were minors when we signed it, in which case it's an invalid document. Or we were relatives that were too close to be able to be to legally allow to sign the document. Or we're apostle because of we were engaged in gambling and other things, which rendered us as invalid to sign a document. We're apostle. Then are these Edim believed? Hareilu ne'monim. This takes us back to what we saw in the previous Mishnah. Hapesha osar, hu hapesha hitir. They could have said, this is not our handwriting. You know this is us. You don't know it's us. And if it's not us, the whole document is just invalid. It's just as if it's just a forgery. We're the ones who are saying, yes, it's ours. Pesha osar, hu hapesha hitir. But we're making a disclaimer and saying we were apostle at the time. Since you have a pesha osar, hu hapesha hitir, therefore they are believed. However, if it's not their words that are confirming this is our signature, this is our handwriting, but you've got other witnesses, that means we otherwise know that this document is a safe document, was signed by these two people who are in front of us as they are now. We see them as being two kosher good people. And we know these signatures are valid signatures. And then these two Edim say, you know what, yeah, they are valid signatures, but we were apostle at the time, or we were forced to sign at the time. What would be in that case? You don't have a Pesha Osar, a Pesha Hitir. I don't need them to confirm that this is a a valid document. So either if there's otherwise proof that this is their signature, or if Beis Din are comparing this signature or this handwriting with another document which was written and signed by them, and that document has already been proven to be valid, which means that Beis Din know that these are, that this is not a forgery, in that case, einam ne'emonim, they're not believed to say that at the time of the signing, we were not kosher. We were either, the claims we saw before, anusim ayinu, ktanim ayinu, psuleidus ayinu, they are not believed. Says the Gemara, Omar Romi Bar Choma. That means all we saw in the Mishnah is, the first part of the Mishnah we saw that if the shtar is not mekuyam, mekuyam means that it's not being established as being valid, if the document had not otherwise been mekuyam, they are ne'emon, they are believed to say that they were posel at the time. If the shtar is mekuyam, then not ne'emon. Says Rami Bar Choma, Omar Rami Bar Choma, Lo Yishonu, this that we saw in the second half of the Mishnah, that if the shtar is otherwise mekuyam, they are not ne'emon, that's only true, Elo She'omru, Anusim Hayinu Machmas Momin. That's only if when they are making the saying that they were posel, then that means the shtar is invalid, that's only when at the same time they are actually saying about themselves that they are posel people. For example, that we were forced, not that they would have killed us, but they are forced by machmas momin, means that we were bribed. We were bribed to sign. What do you mean? You're happy to sign a false document just because somebody paid you to do that? Shimon paid you to sign a document, a false document? That means you're a shoim. That's why you're not ne'emon. We don't believe you. A person is not believed to testify about himself, anything about himself. And over here he's saying, I'm posel, I was a rosha at the time. We don't believe you. However, if they say that the reason we were onus is because we were under threat of being killed, in which case when we signed, you cannot hold it against us. We were not roshoim at the time when we signed. In that case, hareilu ne'emonim. There's no reason not to believe them that they were anusim. So in the Reisha, when the shtar is otherwise not mekuyam, if the shtar is not mekuyam, and you need the eidim themselves to be mekayim the shtar, hapesha os hapeshita, we believe them, whichever way you hold it. In the Sefer, where the shtar was otherwise mekuyam, you don't have hapesha os hapesha hitir. The Mishnah says that they're not ne'emon because they're not ne'emon to pasel themselves. But if what they're saying is not going to pasel themselves, in that case, they are ne'emon. They are believed. Omale Rava. Rava now argued with Rami Bar Choma. Rava says, kol kaminei. It can't be that in a case where the shtar is not mekuyam in the Sefer, and they're saying that we were anusim machmas nefoshos, which means we were not roshoim, and you're going to believe us. Says Rav, it can't be. There's no such thing. Kivun shehigid shuv einei choizor umagid. We know that this shtar is a valid shtar from other reasons. Like the Mishnah says, there's either Eidim or Ksav Yodom. Their own handwriting has been identified elsewhere. We know this is not a forgery. And if so, then the virtue of the signature itself is already as if you've made a statement that whatever it says in this shtar is valid. Now you're coming days, months, weeks, or years later and saying, well, actually, we have a disclaimer. There was something wrong with us when we signed. That's called adding on to Eidos or changing your Eidos. We know there's a rule you cannot do that in Beis Din. Once you've said what you've said, that's it. Kivan Shehigid, once you've said what you've made a statement in Beis Din, which is your signature itself, once it's been otherwise confirmed, is a statement on its own right, Shuvene Chayzor Amagid, you cannot change your mind afterwards and say, oh, actually, it's not kosher, it's posel. V'chiteima, are you going to say, Hanimili Alper, that's only true when you're making a verbal statement? That verbally, if you say something, you're talking something, once you've said it, you can't say something else. Avul Bashtar, but just because I've signed something doesn't mean I've actually said it, and therefore, because we learn it out from the Pasuk of Imlo Yagid, which means if you've said it, you can't say something else. It's got to be one speech, one talk, and not more. Maybe when it comes to something signed, you don't say that concept. Loi, you don't say that. No, Ha'omer Shlokish, did the Shlokish not say, Edim Achasumim al Ashtar, when witnesses sign on a document, Nasa Kamisha Nechkoroi Dusam Bebezin. It's as if we've spoken to the Edim, we've cross-examined the Edim, and they're confirmed to be kosher Edim. Which means that even a signature is considered as having been discussed and confirmed in Beis Din, and Kivon Sheged Einei Chozer Umagid, and therefore they should never be believed to say that we're possible. Unless you have a concept of a pesha asa a pesha hitir, but here you don't have a pesha asa a pesha hitir because it's otherwise mekuyim. Eloki itma reisha itma. It must be that what Rami Bar Chama said, that he made a difference between whether they were anusim because of money, they were bribed, in which case they're roshoim, or anusim machmas nefoshes, in which case they were not roshoim, is not discussing the second part of the braisa of the Mishnah. Sorry, it's discussing the first part of the Mishnah. That we're in the first part of the Mishnah where the shtar was otherwise not mekuyim, and you have a pesha osa hu a pesha hitir, Omar Rami Bar Chama. In that place, Rami Bar Chama says, Lo yishonu eloshen omru anusim. That's only true. You can only use a pesha osa to believe them if what you're believing them in is not turning them into roshoim. If they're anusim, Hainu machmas nefoshis, aval omru anusim oyinu machmas momoin. But if they're going to, even when you have a pesha osar, if what they're doing at the same time is making themselves possible, ein nemonim, we do not believe them at all. My tama, why would that be true? As we've discussed, ein odo mesim atzmei rosha. A person is like giving edus about himself that he's a rosha. A person cannot testify about himself. A person cannot claim and testify that he is a rosha. And therefore we don't believe him. So now, according to what Rav has explained, if the shtar is otherwise mekuyim and you don't have a pesha osa or a pesha hitir, then never neemon. Because kivon shehigid ein echozer umagid. When you do have a pesha osa or a pesha hitir, which is the reisha, then we do believe you, provided that you're not making yourself a rosha at the same time. And Emir Tzashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.